Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 8. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. This is the text. People have asked me what it is that we pastors learn at the seminary, or what's the most important thing you learn at the seminary. And my standard answer is the most important thing that I learned is that I know nothing. The more that I learned about God, the more I have realized that God is incomprehensible. And that was a point of frustration for me for many years, because I like to figure things out. And now, though, it is something for which I give thanks. I like to say, if you only believe the things about God that you can understand in your mind, then the God that you believe in can only be as smart as you are. Learn to embrace the unknowable nature of God. The other day I was thinking about a good friend of mine from our first church up in Wisconsin. I'm Facebook friends with her, and her only daughter, who I baptized, is now a senior in high school, and you know, senior class pictures and everything. And I was feeling really old as I was looking at this. Well, even though it was a long time ago that Shayla, this young lady, was born, I remember the hospital visits like they were yesterday, because Chris, the mom, we've talked about this a number of times. We joked about it for years. She was on bed rest for, 10 or 11 days, waiting for her baby to be born. And they didn't know if it was going to be a boy or a girl. And her husband had not chosen a boy's name yet. So on a few of my pastoral visits, I was looking at the book of baby names that she had next to her bed. I was being really helpful, let me tell you, with, do you know that zero, like the number zero, is a name for a boy? Can you imagine the self-esteem issues that kid would have? Again, I was being really helpful. Well, in this book also were several of my favorite names from history. Clovis and Pepin. Not only were Clovis and Pepin great kings and warriors of the Frankish dynasty, but they were also two of the great champions of the Christian faith. Now, I knew that Chris was not going to name her son Clovis or Pepin, and we have. We've joked about this for years. I'm definitely going to send her a copy of the sermon. I'm sure I'll get a response. But what I distinctly remember about that conversation was Chris saying to me, she said, "I feel so dumb. You know who all these people are, you know, Clovis, Pepin, and such, and I don't know any of them." I can still remember that conversation like it was yesterday. I also still remember the nurse coming into the room and almost trying to kick me out because we were being a little too loud, and thankfully I was wearing my collar, because otherwise I think I would have been gone. But thinking about that conversation, seeing pictures this week and everything, brought back memories, and then looking at our epistle lesson, Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. God did not bring us into this world to trumpet our own intellect or accomplishments, and we have no reason or right to do so, because everything that we possess in this temporary life is limited and imperfect. Besides, as St. Paul says, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. In coming to this realization that we don't know much, as God's people, we also understand that we know everything. Everything that we need to know, at least, because we do know God. and we know and have experienced his love for us? Do we know the unsearchable parts of the majesty of God? Of course not. But we do know him. But it wasn't going through college or seminary or studying Greek or Hebrew or anything like that that allowed me to know God. It was on November 3rd, 1968. It was the day I was baptized. And since that day, I have continued to grow in my relationship with my Creator and Redeemer. And through his word, through the sacraments, these gifts that he has given to us, he has continued to reveal himself to me. And I need him to continue to reveal himself to me, because as it's written in the letter to the Hebrews, anyone who lives on milk, you know, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. We talked about this in last week's Sunday morning Bible class as we've been studying the letter to the Hebrews. We've received all that we need to know through the waters of holy baptism. It's just like we sang in the hymn, "Nothing in my hand I bring. I come naked and helpless. Foul to the fountain I fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die." My only confidence is in what Christ has done for me. Washed me clean of all my sin. This doesn't mean that we should then be satisfied with only understanding that which infants understand. Those small children, washed in the water and the word, as I was when foul to the fountain I flew, those small children, unable to articulate their faith with their words, do have faith. And it is a faith that is just as complete as any adult. After all, we are the ones who are called to have the faith of a little child, which means believing and trusting in something that we don't fully understand. However, having faith, the faith of a little child, it doesn't mean that we can ignore the more mature teachings of God, such as the Trinity, sacraments, which are really, really difficult to understand. When you start to ponder the you know, all the little ins and outs, that's a challenge. And it is something that is unsearchable, unknowable. This is the solid food that the author to the Hebrews writes about. There are even the gristlier parts of the Word of God that it is good for the mature to chew on for a while. Luther talks about wrestling with the Word of God, that this is a good thing to do. The reason that our children do memory work or come to Sunday school, hear the Word of God, listen to sermons, go through years of confirmation, it's to prepare them for the years to come, where we have Bible classes throughout the week, Sunday morning Bible class, again, more proclamation of the Word of God here within God's house. These things are not done in order to puff someone up with knowledge so they can go around and tell everyone who Clovis and Pepin are. God's Word is meant to be constantly before our eyes so that God's love is further revealed. God's love is revealed to you in the forgiveness of your sins. In your baptism, whatever day that was, and I encourage you to know the date, celebrate it. That's the day you were truly born. God's love is revealed to you in the words of the absolution, commanded by God, spoken to you here within God's house. Don't miss out. Christ has given his church this authority for your benefit to pronounce that you stand righteous before God. In the very body and blood of the Son of God, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, God's love is revealed in Christ. It's always and only revealed in Christ. You don't have to know who Clovis and Pepin are in order to be good Christians. Yeah. I didn't know who they were until I took my medieval church history class at the seminary. However, it is good for us to continue to learn and grow in our understanding of God, in our understanding of how he has dealt with his people throughout history, and how he still deals with you today, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the letter to the Hebrews says. And as we continue to have this revealed throughout our lives, it will be more and more clear that the fullness of God's majesty and glory and grace, yes, it is incomprehensible for our limited, imperfect minds, but it is that incomprehensible gift of grace from God, that peace of God which surpasses all human understanding. It is God's undeserved gift of love and forgiveness that allows you to know him and to approach him, for he is your Father. You can have a PhD in theology, philosophy, church history, and still not know who God is. We do not discover God by acquiring knowledge. God found you. God washed you clean of all of your sins, foul to the fountain you flock. He called you to faith and sustains you in faith through his word, through Christ's broken body and blood. Learn to embrace the unknowable nature of God. It is his love for you, not your knowledge of him, which has brought you peace, hope, life, and salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.